you, God. We're excited about what you've done for us. We're excited to celebrate it this weekend. So, Father, we love you. We bless you. Take these words. Let there be an anointing upon them that will destroy yokes of bondage. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. All right. Easter is a story about us. I wanted to know what you're believing God for. A few days ago, I sat at a table and I asked some people what were they believing God for. And so as we come to the Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, I wonder what the disciples and others were actually believing God for. So we come to Easter yet again in the Bible. I've had 45 plus years of Easter, singing in choirs. Actually, Pastor Ace and I gave our heart to the Lord on around and near Easter time. And so when we went to church, some of you have the comic book, just looking just like we looked on that comic book. Ace wore his colors, his club crest, and I had on very few clothes. And people welcomed, they opened their arms to us because they'd been praying for us for so many years. My mom, every Wednesday, never missed a beat on a Wednesday night prayer time, went and prayed for Joy. And when I started going out with Ace, prayed for Joy and Ace. And God is faithful, amen? He's faithful. And so I come to the Easter story again, and it just never gets old. It is so exciting. I'm more excited today about what Christ has done than I've ever been before. Sometimes it still happens, but when I used to invite the grandkids over, they'd want to hear stories, you know, whether they were going to bed or going to sleep or not. They'd want to hear stories, not necessarily a story from a book, but they'd want to hear a story about their life. When were they born? How did this happen? How did that happen? Or they'd want to hear stories about my life as well, what they did and how they were included in that. And you know what? You could tell them the same story over and over and over again. And somehow, when you're talking about them, it never got old. Amen? And I would tell them of my life and my childhood, how I was a singer on the farm and my stage was a wagon, and the cows would pay great attention to me as I sang hymns to them as just a little girl. I did kind of get in trouble once when I told some of the nephews, the grandchildren that are in Manitoba, I did tell them about ministry and how we used to cast out demons and stuff like that. And I kind of got in trouble from my son for telling them that, because they went home and told their dad and they thought there was some in their house. And when I was there, they wanted me to pray and take authority over these things. And so I'm visiting them in their home. This is a little while, you know, a month or so later. And so I get there, and I'm ready to go. I'm thinking, okay, because they told me of some stuff that they had seen in their home, and they wanted me to get rid of those things. And so I just said, well, okay, we'll see how it goes, because their mom was not in tune with stuff like that. And so I just let it go. I have my suitcase. I'm ready to walk out the door. And one of them says, oh, Nana, you forgot to anoint the door with oil and take authority over some demons that might be here. You forgot that. And I'm like, oh, right. Well, maybe we can just hold hands. And no, he gets this big bottle of Mazola oil out of the cupboard, slaps it on his hands. I'm like, this is not how we do this. It's a little dab will do ya, you know? But no, he's got his hands covered in oil when his mom is standing there like this with a cloth ready to clean up as soon as I'm gone. And so they go, so I said, is this all right? And she's like, well, right, you know. So I went around and we anointed door frames. My gosh, there was oil on the top, oil down the sides, everything, you know. And then I quickly beat a hasty retreat out the door. But I did text them later and just say, well, how's it been in your home? And they said, fantastic. We haven't seen or heard anything, which is what was happening. And so, but stories. We love to hear stories, don't we? We love to hear stories about ourselves. And if we like to look at pictures of ourselves. Now, come on. If I had taken a picture this morning and I had put it up there, the first thing you would do is look for yourself, right? Because we like things about ourselves. We like stories about ourselves. And I want to tell you today that Easter is a story about you and I. This is the story of us. That's what Easter is. Yes, it's the story of Christ and his power and his resurrection. Absolutely. But guess what? He did all of that for you and for me. And so in the midst of the movies you may have seen about Easter, the scriptures hopefully you've read about the resurrection, and the powerful, miraculous, amazing thing that happened, I hope that you remember and realize this is about you. Christ did this for you. This was the plan. This was the story. I used to sing a song that said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I don't know how theologically correct that is, but I do know that Jesus looked down through history and said, you're worth it. You're worth going to the cross for. No matter what you've done, no matter where your life has taken you, God says that you are worth it. It's a true story. Amen? It's not a fable. It's not just something somebody made up. It's a true story of what Christ has done, and it's a story about us. And so we all like to hear stories about us. And the Bible is full of stories about men and women in the scripture. We saw a couple of weeks ago how Elijah, powerful, anointed Elijah, ran because of a spirit of fear. We see how people react when they don't get what they want from the Lord. Hosanna! One week, the next week later, crucify him! When we don't get what we want. It's a story. It's a true story. And God is up to something in your story, in the story of your life. Something wonderful and something amazing. Christianity is an amazing adventure that we should all be on. Amen? So, like I said on Thursday night, it's a story of a collision of events different from each other. So different that it's hard to understand. On Thursday, when Jesus shared the Passover with his disciples, he did that, and the Jews did that because of the story that was written a long time ago, a historic account when they were instructed to put the blood on the door, the tops, the sides, it would drip down to the bottom, made the shape of a cross. And then the garden that night where he went to pray and was wanting, needing the prayers of the disciples, but they couldn't stay awake. Roman soldiers came to arrest him, betrayed by one of his own. The trial before the governor, Pontius Pilate, rushed off to Herod, returned back to Pontius Pilate. Friday morning, led away to Calvary, carrying the cross. Soldiers casting lots for his clothes, leaving him only in a loincloth. All a story that had been written, prophecies that had been written hundreds of years before. Hands and feet nailed to a cross, a mocking crown of thorns pushed down on his head. The soldiers didn't know that they were fulfilling prophecy in their story. The Bible says in John 19, 17 to 24, therefore the soldiers did these things, because they were part of a story that had been written centuries before. A collision of events? Absolutely. Then he appoints John to take care of his mother. There were four women recorded at the cross that day, and their story was about to be rewritten. They were to become the storytellers, which was absolutely role-changing for women. Christ had liberated them. He gave them a voice. He gave them a place. But there was more to come. Their story, they thought their story as they watched Christ die on the cross, was the end. But what they were about to tell was the truth, and their story would go on. And let's not forget the story of Barabbas, a notorious prisoner, a robber. His story changed, and death was robbed this time because of Jesus Christ. And what about the thief that was crucified beside him? Again, death didn't win. He said in Luke 23, "This day," he said to the thief, "you will be with me in paradise." One criminal story, he blasphemed and mocked him. But faith in Jesus Christ can change your story. Darkness, 3 hours, covered the earth. The earth shook. A huge 60-foot, 4-inch thick veil was torn from the top to the bottom. When the soldiers, as was the custom, went to break his legs to ensure a faster death, they found that they too were involved in a story written long ago, a prophecy that said not one of his bones will be broken, but they made sure that he was dead. And then what about Joseph of Arimathea? He was a Pharisee. He was a secret believer, a secret disciple, and he asked for the body. He could take it down. And he laid the body of Jesus Christ in a borrowed tomb. Again, part of the story, part of the prophetic voice that came down through the ages. It seemed like the story of the life of Christ was ended. No one had bets on the resurrection, not even the disciples. Concern of the soldiers was not the resurrection. The concern of the soldiers was the disciples, because they had a story. You and I have a story to tell, don't we? This Christ who burst through the tomb, this resurrected Jesus, now lives inside of us as believers. And the disciples had a story. Their lives were wrapped up in the life of Christ. They had seen miracles happen. Have you seen any miracles happen? Have you been in places? I've seen legs lengthened right before my eyes. We've seen spines so twisted that when they sat at the table, they sat like this. And during the meal, the presence of God was so strong, you could hear popping and that person turned like this. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen a man brought in a wheelchair, said he was going to die, take him out of that hospital and get him over to that church. And as we laid our hands on him, we saw life. I checked with the missionaries there, and they said he is alive and well and still going to church proclaiming the good news because Jesus Christ healed him. These are miracles that have happened, that you and I have seen, have had opportunity to see miracles happen. Amen? We've seen with spirit eyes the miracle of the resurrection. The disciples had seen blind eyes healed, probably people they knew. They've seen deaf people hear again. They've seen demons cast out, men running in the graveyard, cutting themselves. All of a sudden now, the Bible says, clothed and in his right mind, because demons were cast out. They had seen a man let down a roof, torn apart, and men letting down their friend. Not only the healing, but your sins are forgiven. The religious people had a problem with that. Who do you think you are saying sins can be forgiven? So they had seen all of these things. They were what the Pharisees were concerned about. They were what the Roman soldiers were concerned about. But the disciples weren't a problem yet. They thought their story had come to an end, and so they weren't a threat to the Roman Empire. They were hiding everywhere out of fear. Saturday night, it looked like the concluding chapter of their story would be labeled, "The enemy has won." The enemy, who is Satan, thought so as well. There was great joy and great glee in hell, I am sure, until Jesus Christ showed up and took back the keys to hell and death. He took the keys to death. Death has no sting over us anymore. It's just a transition from one place to the other, from this earth to heaven. That's all death is to us who are believers in Jesus Christ. And so the women on Sunday morning, they came not believing, but embalming. They brought spices to anoint the body. How were they going to anoint that body? There was this huge rock in front of the tomb. How are they going to get to it? It was sealed with the Roman seal on it. You know, I think planning is important. And I think we need to plan things and we need to plan it with faith. But sometimes when there's no plan, there can be faith. These women didn't have a plan. They didn't take muscle with them. They didn't take people with them to say, can you come and help us roll away the stone? I don't know what they talked about on the way there. Maybe they were silent, not allowing their unbelief to come to the surface. Because they had no belief that the story was going to continue the way that Jesus said it would continue. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. That's who he is. And they had no plan in their story. There was no chapter in their story about the resurrection until they saw it. Women had been a big part of the story of Christ, and Christ had been a big part of their story, these and many other women. Christ made them something. He recognized them. A Hebrew prayer was, God, thank you that you didn't make me a woman or a dog. That's the status that women had in Old Testament and New Testament times. But Jesus Christ changed their story. Has he changed your story? Has he written something in the next chapter that you thought, that's it, I'm done. That's it, my kids are done, this will never change. By faith in Jesus Christ, a new story can be written over our lives, over everyone's life. No one is too far gone. God changes people. Can a leopard change his spots? No, but God can change people's lives. You're looking at a bunch of people that he has changed our lives. Amen? Why don't you just go and give the Lord a clap offering for that? Just tell him, thank you for changing my life. Thank you for changing my life, God. Thank you, God. He was about to write a whole new story for these women. What they saw was an angel sitting on the stone that had been rolled away. When they saw that, the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus said. When they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and the angel said, don't fear. He is risen just like he said. He's not here. He's risen just like he said. Come and see, Matthew 26 says, the place where he lay. What are you believing God for in your story? Are you believing for something just like he said? What are his promises to you? What's he said to you? What has this word said to you about the story that he's writing in your life and my life? Are you believing God? What are you believing God for? I want you to think about that. I want you to answer that question. What are you believing God for? Maybe it's something you're believing God for today, tomorrow, next week. Maybe it's a lifetime something that you're believing God for. What are you believing God for? The guards, it says, were like dead men. An angel sat on the stone. I like that. He didn't march and thump around. He sat on the stone because there's no panic in heaven. God's not panicked about your situation or my situation. He's got it in control. He knows your story. He's risen. Actually, one word, agathē. Life in a graveyard. Now, you would expect life in a birthing room, in the hospital, in other places where life comes forth. But life in a graveyard? I don't think any of us walks through a graveyard expecting life to happen. But it did happen that day. And death in one hand, keys in the other hand, Jesus Christ bursts through the grave and announces, "He is risen! Agathe!" One word, Christ is risen. There were people that didn't notice who he was. Mary thought he was the gardener. Thomas said, "Unless I see the scars in his hands and his side, I'm not going to believe that he's real and that he's alive." The two men on the road to Emmaus, he walked with them and he talked with them, he explained things to them. They didn't know who he was at first. Listen, he's not just raised in our memories. It's not just a memory thing, right? It's not just a nice story that we remember. It's the truth. My mom passed away many years ago. I have not forgotten my mom. She was an awesome woman. She loved me. She prayed us into the kingdom. But she's a memory. She's not real and alive today. She's alive in heaven. But Christ is alive. He rose from the dead. Oh no, you're not getting it. You're not understanding. You've never stood beside a coffin and seen a dead person and then see them rise again. Because if you had, you would be so excited this morning that Jesus Christ is alive. He's no longer dead. He was crucified on the cross that day. They buried him in a tomb. And we think the story is over, but it's just the beginning. Sometimes we think things are over in our life. And while things may change, absolutely, things change. It's not over. I remember when I used to work for 100 Huntley Street, I used to be in the office there, and God had called me into full-time travel and pastoring at that time, and I had made so many great friends there. It was a wonderful place to work. I absolutely loved it. And so when I gave my notice, there was kind of sadness in the midst of it. And I came home with a gift and a card that people had written all kinds of beautiful things on. I remember standing at my kitchen counter and I was talking to Jeff. And I just said to him, "Jeff, I feel like, you know, part of my life is my story's just over." And he said, "No, Mom, it's just a new chapter." And if we can embrace the story that Christ has risen, if we can embrace the story that he's written and writing on our lives, as this part is not, this part is over, this part has changed, amen? This part, change happens through death of a spouse, through divorce, things happen through children, things happen in our life, but it's not the end of the story. And we say, as long as there's breath in me, I want to tell you this morning, even when there's not breath in us, right? Because we don't die. We die in the physical. But that's just such a small part of the story that God is writing on your life and my life. If we have faith, Christ and his life can take the place of death. Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will never die. You will never die. You will live forever in heaven. We transition. And the Bible says, "O grave, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory?" We need to remember that when we're standing over the grave of loved ones who have gone to be with Jesus Christ. It is a victory march. I have this song that I've found on the CD that we listen a lot to. The Victory CD, the one that I Raise a Hallelujah, if you downloaded that CD, listen to the one called There Ain't No Grave. It's great. I love it. I said to Rebecca the other day, I found the song that I want played as they march my coffin out the aisle. Ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Because that's the truth of it. That really is the truth of it. We get easily distracted in our story. We get easily distracted with fear. We get easily distracted with unbelief. We get easily distracted by many things that come along in our life. But if we have faith, life can take the place of death. Sir Winston Churchill was a man who died on January 24th. He was 90 years old. The official funeral lasted for 4 days. True to Winston Churchill's style, He planned his own funeral, and it was called the Operation Hope Not. And that began 12 years before Churchill's death. He was Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and after several revisions due to his continued survival, he finally passed away in 1965. And 2 days after his death, the funeral was held at St. Paul's Cathedral. At his funeral, he requested one bugler play taps, a signal that the day is over, and another bugler play reveille, a signal that it's time to get up. Churchill requested this because he knew that at the end of history, the last note would not be taps, but it would be the reveille. That is what is so in our life as well. Amen? Christians believe this because the Bible teaches it. We believe in life after death, that everyone will rise to face the God of the universe. The Apostle Paul used the reality of the resurrection to defend himself before the Roman officials. We can read that in Acts 26. When the Jewish brothers accused Paul of preaching heresy because he said that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, he also insisted that God would declare both Jews and Gentiles righteous based on faith alone, without the need of circumcision. Standing in a Roman courtroom, Paul declared that his message was none other than the ancient prophets that said that the Messiah would die and rise again, and God would offer forgiveness of sins to all who placed their faith in him. He based it on the resurrection. He didn't base it on some fanciful story, but upon historical fact. Many witnesses testified that they saw Jesus alive after his death, not just the disciples or those 120 in the upper room. Christ is alive. Many graves burst open that day, not just Christ. Read it. It's an awesome story. Easter is a story about you and I. It's a story about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but this is a story about us. And one day Christ will say, it's time to get up. And so today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. The Easter story is a great story. It is a great, true story, isn't it? And it is part of our history. I mean, when we go to school, we learn about different historical things and facts that have happened, and this happened and that happened, and we go through all that stuff and we think, we have a great country, we have a great nation. People lived and died and fought for our nation. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a great story, a true story about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to hear this story again and again and again because it never gets old. What are you believing God for? What's in your heart to say, God, this is what I want. This is what your word says I can have, I can attain to. Life, peace, joy, fruits of the Spirit. Awesome, awesome. Easter is a story about us, and someone is depending on your story. History is depending not only on Winston Churchill's story and others like him. History is depending on your story, maybe the history of our nation, as we pray together, as we talk about our faith, as we share our story. Listen, people want to hear your story. If today you sat with someone you didn't know, an easy conversation is about themselves. So, tell me about yourself. Where do you live? Tell me about your kids, right? We love to talk about ourselves. We love to tell our story. But your story and my story is a story that includes the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life that he's given to you and I. If today you're in our midst and you even hear my voice and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, Maybe you've been to church, or maybe you've sat in church a number of times. It does not make you a believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what denomination, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we say, Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. I invite you to come into my life. Scripture says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open your heart, if you open the door to your heart, Jesus said, I will come in and I will live inside of you. And if you've never prayed and invited Christ to come into your life, today can be your day. Today can be resurrection day for you. Amen? And just like that, you can go from death to life. Father, we thank you this morning. Words are so, it just seems so weak, God. But thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus, even though you knew what we would do to your son. Even today, you still give us Jesus, even though you know that there might be unbelief and fear and things that we don't agree with, we don't like. You still give us Jesus. And so, God, today I ask, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give us a revelation of what you've done and what you've accomplished on the cross and the life that we can have because you were raised from the dead. Thank you for your story, God. Thank you that you're writing your story in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that if there be one or two people here that have not yet embraced you, that have never prayed and said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Come into my life. In fact, why don't we pray that prayer together? Just follow me in this prayer. Every one of us. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came, you lived, you died, and were resurrection. So you could write your story on my life. I thank you, God, for loving me. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life. Make me new and give me hope. And I thank you, God, that when I open my heart to you, you come in. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you prayed that prayer for the first time, maybe you even prayed it as a rededication. Maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe some stuff has happened in your life. But you're saying, God, I want to come home. I want to come back to you. Would you come and just see me after? And again, I want to say to you, happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Let's join together as Rebecca and Madison sing this song for us.